really go up there and pray? People are going to think I have problems.
Well, hello, don't we all?
I mean, but they may think I have a serious sin. Is one sin less serious than another one?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Chope. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. And we've been taking a season personally and as a church to be more intentional about prayer. There are groups that are fasting and praying for people to experience spiritual renewal and for other people to encounter Christ. So, Father, right now I pray in the name of Jesus for that person that's listening to my words right now. I pray for them specifically, that person who feels like their heart has grown hard towards you, or they have become calloused because they have not listened to your clear voice and obeyed, and they found themselves drifting away. I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you would bring about a spirit of repentance. I pray that they would find themselves being drawn back to you, inevitably drawn back by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would not be able to run, that they would encounter your voice through this radio and through friends and other means, that they would realize that you are chasing after them with your divine love. And so, God, would you grant a spirit of repentance? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that your heart would be drawn close to God during this season. God bless.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue today with Pastor Mark's series called Supernatural, and today is the second half of his message called Purity in Community. Our text continues in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with today's edition of Straight Talk.
Maybe you've been coming around for a while. Maybe you're a believer. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, you just thought about taking a whole jar of pills and ending your life and had suicidal thoughts. But you come in church and someone says, how are you? And you say, victory in Jesus. And you put on this plastic smile and act like everything's okay because for some reason you think that everything has to be okay. That if you're really a Christian and really a believer, that you shouldn't be struggling. And I believe there's victory in Jesus, but I believe that the greatest victory in Jesus is that when we are real and authentic and honest and true about how we're doing and what's happening in our life. See, it's easy to put on a front. Some people look like they have it all together, don't they? But it's amazing what a little makeup and a hair blow dryer will do to make you look like you have it all together, right? Just because you have your shirt ironed and your hair combed doesn't mean that you have it all together. In fact, most of the people around you struggle with some of the same issues that you struggle with. So why don't you tell the person beside you, you know, I don't have it all together. Go ahead, tell them. Come on. Some of you are resisting saying that. Okay, now let's breathe a corporate sigh of relief. Whew, it's good to know that a bunch of other people here don't have it all together either. I don't want you to have a Christian face and look when you come in this place. I want you to be who you are. And I want you to be more concerned about your heart attitude than what people think around about you, around you. And these people, Ananias and Sapphira, it seems to be that their main concern was what people thought about them, and God despised that. God said, that's not what I want this church to be about. Secondly, it seems like they wanted to look more generous than what they really were. They wanted people to think they were more committed than what they really were. They wanted people to think they were more generous than what they really were. Inside, they were holding things aside, but they wanted the respect of people, so they wanted their outward appearance to look better than what they really were. I had a conversation this week with a brother that told me that when he was younger and a bit immature, he said he had a real hard time with giving to God, but he felt a little pressure when he was sitting in church by people around him, so he would get these envelopes, and he said, I wouldn't put anything in them, but I would just seal them, and when the usher came by, I'd put them in, like, okay, I did. He said, I was kind of wondering, the offering counters probably wondered why they kept getting these empty envelopes in the offering plate. But he said, you know, it was immaturity. It was pressure. It was like, I want to look better than what I really am. And I want to say that, you see, when you go down that road, you start creating a religious environment. You start creating a religious church, a religious service, but you don't create an authentic community. And I want you to know that I have no desire to create a religious service or an audience. My desire is to cooperate with God in raising a community of faith that really genuinely desires to follow the ways of Jesus Christ and is not just playing a religious game. Amen? That's our desire at this place. The other thing that they did is they lied to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't see where they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to Peter. Notice what Peter says. Peter says in verse 9, he said, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? And earlier on, he says, how could you agree? In verse 3, he says, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You see, what you need to understand is that the most important person that you encounter when you come to a worship service like this on Sunday morning, it's not the usher, it's not Pastor Mark or Pastor Mike or Pastor Dwayne or one of the pastors, it's not the leader of Sunday school, that the most important person that you encounter on Sunday morning as we come to worship is the presence of God Almighty. He's the one. When you walk in this place and when you give your worship, you should be asking yourself, God, what do you think about me? God, what are you thinking about my state of living? And it doesn't matter to me what other people think about me. That's why when the Spirit of God convicts you and you need to get things right, some of us, when an altar call is given to come up and pray and get things right, some of us, the very first question that we ask as we're standing in that in the pew, standing in our aisle, the first question is, well, what's this person going to think? If I really go up there and pray, people are going to think I have problems. Well, hello, don't we all? I mean, but they may think I have a serious sin. Yeah? Is one sin less serious than another one? I mean, they're going to think I have issues in my life. Well, don't you? You see, we need to have an atmosphere in the Church of the Living God that creates a freedom to respond to the presence of God, a freedom to pray for one another, a freedom to encourage each other, to exhort each other, to help each other live right for God. These three young women this morning took a step of believer's baptism in front of a whole bunch of people, and sometimes that's a hard step to take because sometimes it feels like, well, everybody's going to be looking at me. Yeah, that's okay. The biggest audience is God Himself. What does God think right now about the condition of your heart and where you're at spiritually? That should be prominent on our mind. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. They discredited the Holy Spirit. Since they lied about their spiritual condition, they lied about their spiritual heart, and I believe that God was saying in His heart, if I don't stop this now, if I don't clear this up now, this could spread like a plague in the early church and ruin my movement, ruin what I'm doing, because it could fill the church with hypocrisy and religious people, but not with a legitimate community of faith. Let me be honest with you. I've said this before, but I want you to get very clear in your mind that, you know, some people go to Dominic to shop for groceries, and then they go to Starbucks and get a latte, and then they go to Blockbuster to get their video, and then they come to New Life to be a provider of religious goods and services. I want you to know that that is not our vision of the church at all. Our vision of the church is not that people would come in here and get a little religious goods and services like many other things that you get at other places. You see, the church is different than that. When you come here, it's not to get a little spirituality in your life. You come here to be honest with God. You come here to open your heart fully up with God and say, "Deal with me, God. I want to follow you. I want to be honest and open and real with you completely. And whatever you have to do in my life, God, do it, because I desperately need you to be at work in my life." And here's the thing. You know, I love to tell I have two teenagers living in my house right now. No, they're not runaways. They're my kids. I have two teenagers, and they're great. I love them. I have a blast with them. And most days, we have a really good time. Most days. But one of the things I tried to tell especially my older teen, I've been trying to tell them since they were young, is that you will never get away with deception for too long, because your sin will always find you out. I've been telling my kids since they were little that. I want them to know, you may deceive for a little bit, but ultimately, it all is brought to the light. And that's a great thing to teach your kids. Because it's not just the over-positive attitude of a parent of a teen. It's a scriptural principle. The truth is that whatever is really hidden down there, whatever is in our heart, ultimately is going to come to the light. That we can only deceive a certain amount of people a certain amount of the time, but ultimately God will make sure that things come to the light, and that whatever we think we're getting away with, we really ultimately do not get away with. All the teens in here, just a word of reminder. And all the adults in here, a word of reminder as well. And let me give you a few verses just to back that up. Matthew 10:26. "So do not fear them," it says. "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." Luke 8:17. "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open." 1 Corinthians 4:5. "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness, and he will," listen, "expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." Hebrews 4:13. "Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account to."
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Purity in Community, which is from our series called Supernatural. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4, and today's message is called Purity in Community.
You know what Scripture's saying? Scripture's saying that there is nothing deep inside of our heart that God doesn't know, and ultimately that will not be exposed. Scary thought. Scripture's saying that you can only play a game so long before God brings it out. Scripture's saying that what you believe, what's deep inside of your heart, the motives deep inside of the heart, or the things that you may think you're getting away with when no one sees, or when no one knows, or that you have hidden right there, the private little operations you have going in the back, what the Bible says is that ultimately all those things will be brought to the light. That no one is really getting away with anything ultimately, because God already knows everything. And at the right appointed time, God will surface it to the light, and God will bring it out to the public, and it will be made known. So we might as well just get it right before God, before he brings it out, because ultimately it will be revealed. Ananias and Sapphira thought they were getting away with something. They thought, oh, we got a neat plan here, and no one's ever going to find out about it. We got a thing that no one knows about. Let me tell you, guy, you may think you're getting away with getting on that one computer that you have, and at 12 o'clock at night, getting on some of those porn sites, and your wife is never going to find out about it, and your teenage daughter's never going to find out about it. But let me tell you, ultimately, one day, it's going to surface to the light. Oh, I've had a lot of conversation with guys that have told me about the painful moment that their family found out about their pornography addiction. Listen, you may think that no one knows, you may think, young gal, that no one knows about the little affair that's happening, that little fling that's happening in the office, and that you've covered it up pretty good, and that no one really knows because you guys have been really discreet about things, but I want you to know that ultimately it will surface and it will come to the light. I want you to know, if you're at home and you say, you know, no one knows about these prescription pills that I'm taking, but they really make me feel better. And you know what? And I keep telling my doctor I really need them because I have these pains, and, you know, he kind of gives them to me. And no one knows about it. Not even my husband knows about it. He just thinks it's medicine that I take for high blood pressure. Let me tell you, ultimately, that will all come to the light. Listen to me, college student, that you think, hey, no one knows about this little really cool technique that I have of cheating. I mean, I got this thing down. No one's going to know about it. No one's going to find out about the plagiarism that I've done with my papers and copy, because I found a real obscure thing and I've mixed it up pretty good with my own thoughts. And no one's going to find out about it. But here's what I want you to know. Ultimately, it all will come out. And the truth is that in the eyes of God and in the sight of God, it already has been exposed. The game that we may think we're playing has already been exposed. In fact, I believe that when it talks about communion in Corinthians, it says, examine your hearts. Examine your heart so that God himself will not have to examine you, it says. Because some of you, he says, are sick, and some of you have already died because of this. And really what God is telling us is we need to live lives of self-examined lives before God, be real and honest before God, not play dangerous games before God or before others, because God takes the purity of our lives super serious. And he goes on to say, which leads me to my third point, the result of that. Now you would think that the fact that a couple falls dead in the middle of a church service would scare other people away, right? I mean, that wouldn't be a good advertisement. Come to our church, a couple just died. I'd be like, I don't know about that church. That pastor must be a little wacky or something. But literally the opposite began to occur. Listen to what happened. In the beginning, it seems like that. Verse 11, it says, a great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Suddenly, everybody was a little frightened. Uh-oh. Am I next on the list? Uh-oh. I believe their altar calls were pretty packed in those days. And there's a lot of people doing some confession, a lot of people getting some things right, because people were saying, wow, God really takes dishonesty with him seriously. And look what it says, verse 12. Leads me to my third point. My third point is a purified mission sparks genuine growth. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Verse 13. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, does that seem like a bit of a contradiction in the beginning? It says, verse 13, and no one dared to join them. And then verse 14 says, and more and more were added to their number. Well, which one was it? No one dared to join them, or many were added to their number? Let me explain that. No one dared to join them means that people that were not really serious about God, and people that were just kind of hanging out and not really taking things seriously, they were afraid just to hang out with the crowd. They were getting serious. They said, uh-oh, I better watch myself, because if I'm not serious, I could have consequences. But people that were genuinely coming to Christ and genuinely searching for God were being converted and transformed and filled with the Holy Spirit and coming around and being transformed by God, and people kept being added to their numbers. So it was genuine, real, authentic growth that was happening among them. The point is that the fear of God made people start getting serious about their relationship with God. Now let me close with this note. I want you to understand that if you're new around here, that it doesn't matter where you've been, how long you've been there. Some of you may have stumbled in this place this morning because you just went on a 3 binge of drinking and you kind of have a hangover this morning. You're trying to listen to my words and say, man, he's kind of too loud. Some of you may have used a little breath freshener when you got here this morning and said, I don't want to knock people over with my alcoholic breath. Some of you may have been living really far from God, and maybe you're out there partying, and maybe you've just had a few sexual liaisons this past week, or maybe you're halfway an atheist, and maybe you're very far from God. I want to let you know that the doors of this church are wide open to everybody, no matter where you're at, where you're coming from, how long you've been there, because we want you to get closer to God. I want you to know that, okay? I want that to be very clear. I want you to understand that we don't expect you to act like a Christian before you become a Christian. We don't expect you to clean up and to try to behave like a believer if you're not a believer, not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, and haven't come to God. I don't expect you to behave any different. You know, you could have been swearing up and down the parking lot when you walked in, and then told the usher, "Excuse my French," and walked into the church, and that's okay. That doesn't scare me. Come on in. But, hear me well, but if you have come and given your life to Christ, and you have been baptized and said, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ and not ashamed of it," and you have committed your life to Christ and pledged your life to follow Jesus Christ, and you've been walking with God for a couple of years, then I want you to hear me well. Then there is a dedication and a commitment that God is expecting of you as someone that's not just out there investigating Christianity, but someone that has embraced Christianity. Are you tracking with me? It's a different thing. Because you're not a novice. You don't like, "Well, I don't know better." No, you know better. "Well, I can't." No, you have the Holy Spirit. "Well, you know, the world is strong and the flesh is weak." Yeah, but God is greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Here's what I want you to know. If you're a believer, follow Jesus Christ, living for God, you know the basics, you studied your Bible, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, then if you choose to live contrary to God, if you choose to turn your back on God, if you choose to embrace sin and live out there, it's not because you can't, it's because you choose not to fully engage in following Jesus Christ. And this warning and this message is for you, not the guy that's just kind of stumbling off the street. This is for you that know, that understand, that grasp. This is a call to the church to wake up and say, let's be serious about our walk with God. It's not about a little religion. This is about authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Are you tracking? So, you say, "Well, what do I do, Pastor? I mean, really, what if I am struggling?" What you do is you get on your knees, on your face before God, and you say, "God, forgive me. God, I need to change today, not tomorrow. God, you've exposed these things. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, the Bible says, if God convicts you about it, don't wait another day. If today you hear the voice of the Spirit of God calling upon your life, do not harden your heart, but respond to God and say, I will not continue down this path anymore because I really want to be a part of what God is doing. God will purify his church. God will cause us to live authentically for him. And that's when we have the most effect on the world around us, when we seriously understand the grace of God and the holiness of God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the second half of his message called Purity in Community. It's from our current series called Supernatural. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.